Let's pray. Precious Lord, I ask that I may disappear and you may appear, Lord. Your words may be my words, Lord. Let that your message would be given today and not mine, Lord. I'm not very good at this, but you are. I'm just standing up here and letting you talk. Be with us, Lord, that whatever is from you would reach the ears that you would have it appointed to. And what is from me would go its own way. Be with us, Lord, as we open your word and study what you need us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. No. You know, last week, I went up to New York fishing, and things didn't turn out as expected, to say the least. I was among the gentlemen who had driven 10 or 12 hours to get to the state of New York, and we all bought our licenses ahead of time to find out that the lake temperature was actually colder than the creek temperature, which means the salmon were still in the lake and not in the creeks where we were. So, long story short, in 3 days I saw 4 fish, and that was it. I actually saw 2 fish caught. Definitely not what we expected. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. We all prayed, God. I'm just supposed to come up here. You're supposed to put the fish on the line. I'm supposed to take them back. Everybody will be happy. We'll all eat salmon this winter. And it all worked. But it didn't. Not actually what I expected. So the question is, how do you handle this? Because too many times we ask God for something and it doesn't happen. Or it doesn't happen the way we expect it. Tell you a little secret. You're not rubbing a magic lamp. The genie's not coming out giving you 3 wishes. That ain't God. Just that plain and simple. But let's look at some other people who prayed and nothing happened. The nation Israel. God didn't actually tell us the story of the nation Israel just so we'd know Jewish history. That's us. That's God's kids. We're God's kids. God said we're the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He will treat his children the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If you're wondering how God's going to handle a certain situation with you, look in the Bible. How did he do it 1,000 years ago? We're not the first people to have these problems. But it's a different historical time period. People were hungry 4,000 years ago. People are hungry today. People want different things. People needed to be covered with clothing 2,000 years ago. They still need that covering today. It's just a question of how God supplies the need. But it's not always what we expect. Jesus asked the Father in Matthew 26, "Take this cup from me." And God said, "No." Wait a minute. I ask and I receive. What happened to that part in the Bible that says, whatever I ask in Jesus' name, I'm going to get? It doesn't always happen that way. The question is, how do we deal with it? Whenever God says no, or God says wait. Wait is the hardest answer to prayer you're going to get. Did you ever stop and think God has to make things move, put things into play for what you want to happen to come true? A very poor example of how to handle a no answer is in the book of Exodus 32. And I'll make this real quick. This is where Moses went up on the mountain and said, I'll be back. Well, he left Aaron in charge. Well, the children of Israel, we didn't believe Moses. We didn't believe God. So what did we do? We built a golden calf. Well, we all know how well that worked out. Moses came down from the mountain. God slew 3,000 people for being disobedient to him. And you're sitting there saying, wait a minute. How can God do that? This is the God who loves everybody. He doesn't love disobedience. No, I asked the Lord this week, I said, what should I preach on? What should I tell the people? And he says, somebody needs to hear that I'll answer your prayers in my way. Barb asked me this a little while ago. She says, I wish you'd have said what hymns to play. Well, Barb, you played the perfect hymns. This is my Father's world. God is God, and we are not. But right above me on this mantle, it says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. You know, Jeff was recounting the story of the long trip to Lancaster this week. How we got on the turnpike and it found out that there was an accident and these lanes were closed. So we got back on another highway and we got going the wrong way. And we basically turned a 4-hour trip into a 6-hour trip, I guess. That's about it. But the question of it is, Jeff said, get me safely to Lancaster, Lord. Not exactly what you expected, but he got you safely to Lancaster. But he took you through the grand tour of the Pennsylvania Turnpike to get you there. But is it possible that at 10:30 or whatever time period, Jeff was supposed to be at a certain spot on the turnpike? Is it also possible there may have been a traffic accident involving you and your vehicle? Is it possible that God said, wait a minute, if I make Jeff go 20 minutes later, that won't happen? Two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. That's plain physics there. But the question is, was Jeff happy that he was delayed?
No, I can tell you that he was not.
Well, so what do you do? God decided to answer your prayer in his way, not your way, not what we expected.
It's my way and my highway.
There you go. You know, I heard an old preacher say, you know, that it's the same God on the mountain as is in the valley. And no matter how God answers the prayer, just keep praising. Because we don't see the big picture. There's a reason for that. God's not done painting it yet. He's painting the portrait of our lives. And you know what? every once in a while, there's a black stroke in there. That's a tough time for us. But nothing exemplifies the brilliance of color more than flat black against it. So as we are paddling down the river of life, looking at the waterfall, we have a choice. Either believe God's going to take you over that waterfall and bring you safely to the other side, or you can be scared and jump out of the boat. That's what it comes down to. Are you going to keep the faith or not? Do you trust the Lord or not? In the first century, the Christians would put half a sign of a fish out in front of their door so that the people who the Romans were chasing could put the other half and they would run in. That's how the fish got started. If you met a Christian on the street, you would make your half, he would make his half, and you knew that that was a brother in Christ, someone you could trust. But the point I'm trying to make here is, do you trust God? Or will you fall away? He says, in the last days, many will fall away. Do you trust him to get you where you're going? Right now, I cannot believe I don't have a freezer full of fish. That's impossible. But you know what? The people in North Carolina couldn't believe it rained for 7 days either. And Jeff couldn't believe we couldn't get to Lancaster in 4 hours. You ask God for something, he answered you. He gave you a yes, a no, or a wait. You can be the happiest camper in the world waiting on the answer. Or you can be the most miserable person in the world waiting on the answer. That's up to you. Whether you're happy, sad, your emotion is not going to get this answer any different. God knows the right thing for you. He's painting the portrait of your life, like I said. Sometimes it's not going to be pretty. Sometimes it's not going to be easy. But he controls everything. You just need to keep trusting him. And honestly, I had a whole nother sermon prepared. And I thought, wait a minute, God, this is my idea. And that's when he said, well, this is my idea. Your idea don't count no more. So that's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching. I got up the other morning and I thought, just go to BibleHub.com and everything will be fine. You'll know all these great scriptures and they'll think you're the best preacher that ever come down the pike. And then that little voice said, nah, just open the book. So I opened the book. Let me read some promises from our God, something you can hold on to. From the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. But now says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf people who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them be our witnesses, and let they be justified, or let them hear it is true. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant which I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be one after me. You know, quite a few years ago, we were losing our job. And this is a story I tell pretty often because it really impacted my life. There was an old black guy who I worked with, and he was in his 60s. And sadly, in this nation, when you get into your 60s, it's really hard to find a job. And I was in my 40s. And I remember the last couple weeks we worked together. He said, he didn't bring us this far to let us go now. So you know what? It turned out that that's the best thing, that plant closing was the best thing ever happened to me. And now I look back and see why God did what he did with my life. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Pastor Jeff said, Lord, make me a preacher. But I don't think you thought it would come about this way. But it did. You asked for it. You got it. But he had a plan. And he has a plan for each and every one of us. So I know it sounds crazy, but when you're floating down that river and you're looking at the waterfall, start praising the Lord. Because he'll either get the boat to stop or get you over that waterfall. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we look at your Bible, Lord, and we take great comfort in the fact that you love us, Lord. You know what's best for us, Lord. But Lord, the truth of it is, to get us through this life, you're going to have to drag us kicking and screaming. Because we want things our way, and we feel that we know best. But Lord, let us remember, you know what's best. You know the path, Lord. And through each and every hard time, you build our faith. And through each and every good time, Lord, you reward us, Lord, and bless us. So, Lord, as I ask the folks at the home, and I ask for them, the same thing I ask for each and every one here, Lord, that we may have more good days than bad days, Lord. Let us learn from our failures. Let us praise you every time something goes right and every time something goes wrong. Help us along the road, Lord, that leads to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Appreciated that. I love that verse. When you go through the fire, when you cross the flood, it doesn't say if it happens, it says when you. Because there is no faith, there is no prayer that makes the fire go away and makes the flood go away. Because they come from God. You can't pray away God. But the promise is you'll get through it. Amen. Thank you, brother.